So first, I'd like to thank everyone here for coming to this presentation and hearing the sort of local perspective, getting a local flavor for what we're doing on the ground. As Dr. Gestadt mentioned, I'm an urban planner. I don't know, are there any other urban planners in the room? Oh, that's exciting. I'm usually at conferences where we're all just like preaching to the choir, and it's really refreshing to hear perspectives of, you know, built environment from the public health community. So very cool. Thank you. In terms of what I'm going to be presenting on, I could, as the executive director from Bike Easy, which is Greater New Orleans' bicycle advocacy organization, talk about all of the wonderful bike lanes. However, and the fact that we're fifth now in the country for bicycle commuting, but I'm actually here to talk about a project that I formerly managed with Kids Walk Coalition at the Prevention Tulane Prevention Research Center. So a lot of my colleagues are actually in the room, which is very nice. So before I took the position as the executive director of Bike Easy in April, I worked with the Tulane Prevention Research Center with this Robert Wood Johnson Foundation-funded project for about a year and a half. And I'll talk a little bit about that project and the evolution of it as we go on. In terms of what we're going to talk about today, this is just an overview. Basically, it's just introduction. I'll go through the mission, talk a little bit about the background, because the partnership, it was a very innovative project, but it did come out of a couple other pressing needs and lessons learned from projects that had gone on prior. We also have, you know, just the context of New Orleans. Where we are in the nation as a state, and then, of course, the local context. And then there's the methods, results, and conclusions. So, again, Kids Walk Coalition is a partnership initiative that was seeded. It was funded through the Robert Wood Johnson Foundation Healthy Kids, Healthy Communities initiative from 2010 to 2014. And the primary partners consisted of the Prevention Research Center at Tulane University. And by the way, I do want to acknowledge that Dr. Carolyn Johnson, who is the director of the Tulane Prevention Research Center, she couldn't be here today. However, she is deeply involved in the project. So the City of New Orleans Department of Public Works. I'll talk a little bit about why that was really important. And then a number of local planning, public health, and community-based organizations. And, of course, the project was all about moving active transportation forward. So these are all the partners, and that's not everyone, but it is a large portion of especially the initial partners. A lot of community-based organizations, some national groups, and then a lot of very local groups. So the mission of Kids Walk Coalition is to reverse childhood obesity in New Orleans by making walking and bicycling safe for families and children so that they could access schools, healthy eating choices, and other neighborhood destinations. So that was the primary goal that the coalition came together and decided upon. In terms of the background, it's really important, again, to acknowledge that, you know, Kids Walk Coalition, while a very innovative partnership, it did come from a number of, it was a confluence of projects and circumstances, honestly, that created the impetus for the project. And so very quickly, from 2003 to 2008, the Centers for Disease Control and Prevention had a project that was spearheaded by the Louisiana Public Health Institute and the New Orleans Health Department. It was called Steps to a Healthier New Orleans, and it was a community-based chronic disease prevention program that focused on burdened populations, so a lot of our low-income communities of color. And so that project was well underway, yielding some very great results. I'm doing a lot of, community level work, assessing neighborhoods, audits, that sort of thing. And then, of course, in 2005, Katrina and the flood occurred, and there was just a complete resetting of priorities that had to happen. So even though the city had, been well underway in a number of planning initiatives, a number of, this project, chronic disease prevention-based projects, there was just a resetting of priorities. And so the project continued, but it really was at a limited capacity, you know, and of course with as much built environment damage as had occurred, it was difficult to kind of assess the project to keep the same level of, I guess, progress moving. And so there was still a lot of need, is the whole point of that. But there was a lot of need recognized, and so that was important. In 2005 to present, it's still continuing. I mean, I'm sure you all have read articles about New Orleans recovery, the revitalization that's going on. You know, in the early stages, and I was not here, but a number of my colleagues were, there was some very high levels of community engagement going on. What do we want our city to be? You know, and so that visioning and planning was taking place. And before you can actually apply for a lot of federal funds other than the initial emergency, you know, recovery funds, you really do have to have an infrastructure plan, all these other things to receive the FEMA funds that were going to, you know, really do a lot of the resurfacing of our roadways, you know, housing. So there had to be some very robust plans. And all of that was undergoing. It was about 2007, 2008, where the city really started receiving a large, you know, federal recovery funds, CDBG, community development grants. And with that money in hand, there was, you know, it was time to rebuild. And it was about 2009 that as the money was coming in hand and community groups on the ground who had been very engaged in the process and knew that they wanted, knew what they wanted in their communities, started to say, well, we need to be at the table. We need to have a way to shape, you know, the city. And so Tulane Prevention Research Center, you know, saw this opportunity, was engaged with the University of New Orleans Transportation Institute, which is a partner who has a planning, a school of planning. And then, of course, Louisiana Public Health Institute, who had already been engaged in this work. They actually have an engineer on staff that works within the Department of Public Works. So that model was already there. And the idea was, well, let's just submit. There's this great grant that's out. And so that brings you to 2010. There was a grant that, or 2009, there was a grant that came out with Robert Wood Johnson Foundation. It was the largest philanthropic, you know, built environment commitment to chronic disease prevention, specifically to reduce obesity. And the idea was, let's build a collective, a collaborative partnership that would allow for community groups as well as city agencies to really work together to, you know, decide how we want to address the built environment changes that would take place on the ground. And so that was really, that was the impetus, that was the origin of the Kids Walk Coalition. And why kids walk? Why schools? So the secret is, and I learned this from the project director, schools in the city of New Orleans, I mean in any city, public schools cover a huge portion of your community. So if you can focus on the built environment around them and the communities around them, you're covering a very large swath of your infrastructure, your walking, biking, pedestrian network. So and, of course, with the obesity reduction strategy being to focus on children and families, it made sense to engage schools in this rebuilding process as well. So again, just I know you all have seen these maps. I like to look at them, so I put them in my presentation because it reminds me, again, why the obesity strategy. You look at the South, and you see where we are, and that is that remains consistent. Even though this data is older, this is still very much true today. We're always in the bottom rankings for obesity trends among U.S. adults. Zoom in again to prevalence for childhood obesity, and again, Louisiana consistently ranks, you know, among the highest for that prevalence. Now, when you zoom into New Orleans, you know, and I put in our population, but the breakdown is really what's important. You've got a population that's, you know, approximately 60% African American, an increasing Hispanic population. And in terms of active transportation, I could go into some of the stats on that, but we just know that there's a disproportionate number of low-income communities of color that are impacted by, crash rates and things of that nature. And then in terms of obesity, that's also a population that's affected. And so, you know, when you're talking about 60% of your population, we really have to move the needle there if we're going to make a difference. We need to move the needle across all, but that's really an area that we're targeting. We've already talked about 37 fittest out of the U.S. That's out of the 50 largest metro cities. And I don't know how many of you have seen this. Robert Wood Johnson, they did a zip code analysis of various cities. They did one of New Orleans. This is not all of New Orleans. It's just zoomed into the two zip codes that represent the greatest life expectancy difference. And so what we have here are two zip codes that are less than 2 miles apart, and there is a 25.5-year life expectancy difference. Why is that important to active transportation? Again, I talked about, there's a number of factors for this number, so I can't say that it's all related to, like, walking and biking, but we do know that opportunities for walking and biking and safe, equitable access to those opportunities is one of the reasons. And if you have high rates of heart disease, chronic disease, it's linked to not having opportunities to be able to be physically active, so, and safe ways to do that as well. So in terms of the methods for Kids Walk Coalition, the partnership, everything obviously was looked through the lens of public health. And so the methods were really like, you categorized them very nicely. I didn't do that. I just threw them all out here. But, it was really to bring this convening of, on-the-ground partners and the city entities and strengthen pedestrian and bicycle advocacy in the city. We also wanted to conduct assessments to define the high-priority policy and environmental needs specifically around schools. We worked to influence and implement city policies, allowing people to be active. So I'll talk a little more about some of those. But we assisted the city with ongoing complete streets policy implementation. So complete streets, for anyone who doesn't know, that is a policy, it's a national sort of policy that indicates that a street is for everybody and that it should be designed to accommodate all users. So whether you walk, you bike, whatever mobility ability you have, it's designed for everyone. That's really the notion. And so that was important because as the funding was coming in, we really wanted to have a policy in place that would essentially mandate that the city would consider and evaluate the projects that they were putting in the pipeline and implementing for all users, because that was really going to have a very long-lasting effect. We provided safe routes to school, technical assistance, continued to do that. So meaning we help write grants, we help get funding essentially into the city so that we can make these more capital investments as well as do education and encouragement, so teaching kids about how to walk and bike safely if they choose to do so. We also co-sponsored events. You've already talked about the play streets and just a number of just physical activity opportunities in communities. And then we also have been creating pedestrian safety materials and data-driven reports, as well as a safe routes to school curricula that's implemented within schools. And I'm going to kind of just cruise through some of the rest. I'm not going to go through all of it, but I think the most important thing is to just, the visual here is that it's ongoing. We initially engaged, developed materials to support, use those materials for advocacy, to advocate, to support the advocacy groups here in the city, and then to implement the recommendations that come out of the advocacy. And then there's a refinement, right? So you want to continue to engage. You want to continue to broaden. And that's really just this ongoing process. So what are the results? What happened? We grew the partnership. We have over 25 active partners, and that was over 4 years. There has been a published school area neighborhood walkability needs and recommendation report. So there was an initial report that was done in 2010, and then there was an a follow-up audit. So after monies, we knew that federal funds had been spent. We wanted to know, how did that impact, what impact did that have on neighborhood area schools and the infrastructure around them? So we have the audit follow-up. We submitted a lot of work orders to the Department of Public Works. I, as an urban planner, physically worked within the Department of Public Works. So myself and the engineer that I spoke of, who works for Louisiana Public Health Institute, we were not employed by the city. We were obviously employed by public health. And we were funded through these grants, embedded within our city, and really working with our city engineers, planners, to make sure that, this stuff was implemented and became part of how we do business and how we design streets. Talked about city complete streets. We adopted that in 2011. We also assisted with the American Disabilities Act transition plan, so created that document, which really says where we need to focus to create more accessible sidewalks, ramps, all that stuff. We created a strong bicycle pedestrian provisions within the transportation advisory, comprehensive zoning ordinance, which was just finalized. And we partnered with the city to plan and launch the first ever open street. So it's a larger open street, sort of ciclovia, where you open the streets to activity and you close them to motor vehicles for a day or whatever. And it just really gets people out and being active. We achieved bronze level walk and bike. So there's two sort of designations that we have. They're both bronze level for bicycle friendly and walk friendly community in New Orleans. And we also have secured $2.25 million in Safe Routes to School funding for 8 projects. So those were the results. We got 2 minutes. And if anybody wants to know more about the data results of the audit, specifically that specific project that we did, you can go to kidswalknola.org. Also, you could reach out to the Prevention Research Center, who did a lot of the analysis and data crunching. But I have 2 copies here, one of the actual report and one of the audit, the follow-up audit, for you to look through. Basically, the conclusions are, the partnership reinforced that this work, we knew that the work had to be collaborative, but really reinforced that it can't be done in a vacuum or alone. We know that results, especially for the built environment, take time for evaluation. Citizen engagement should be balanced with the organization and institutional participation of the collaboration. So all of the presentations that we had, all of the partners that I showed previous, while they represent citizens, they weren't citizens themselves. And so that's one thing that, we learned, that we really need to do more citizen-level engagement. Political and staff turnover affects work. It doesn't have to be negative. It doesn't have to be, something that's bad, but it does mean that as you're doing this work, as we're doing this work, it's really important that it's institutionalized because there will be turnover. So there's a need for multiple champions. And consistent partner cultivation. Also, we learned that coalition and project sustainability is really critical. You just gotta build that in. I think towards the end of the project, we had all these successes. Without the funding, the idea was, well, how are we gonna have parts of it live in other places? And we found a successful way to do that. We created the active community design group within FitNola. So that was a really great way to do it. And then I transitioned to Bike Easy, and I'm doing a lot of the education and bicycle work. So we've found ways to carry that work on. It's really important to build that into your process. And in the end, you need dedicated, funded city staff to institutionalize the change. So we have a great health department, and we're excited to have that partner. It's really important that we have folks in the agencies across the city, because again, this can't be done in a vacuum. So it can't just be the health department that's promoting public health through built environment. It has to be their DPW and other groups. And lastly, I guess, and it's kind of important, but we weren't able to really get the police engaged. And it's really important when you're talking about built environment, you're talking about safety and communities, and, you know, because they're kind of the, I mean, they're just a partner that's really important in this work. So that was one thing that we learned, that we need to develop that partnership. And we are. We're building that through our Safe Routes to School program. So that's exciting. So what do we got? We have a new New Orleans. We have a New Orleans that's reflecting what people want to do, what they've always wanted to do. And we're able to do that in a way that's still very New Orleans. So it's exciting. We hope that you're, you know, out there experiencing our streets. And I'm happy to answer any questions. Again, I'm the executive director at BikeEasy, but I could answer questions about just the project. And then there's also partners here from Tulane Prevention Research Center. Thank you. Great question. So her question was, to what level were community members, specifically Central City, engaged in the Complete Streets process? I will say that, again, the Kids Walk Coalition partnership was intended to be this venue where, you know, the community and then the agencies could come together. And the organizations that were a part of our coalition have, you know, residents that they work with, and so that information filtered up. But, you know, one of the things that I mentioned is that there's still a need for really, like, ground-level citizen engagement around Complete Streets, around, like, most people, when you say that, don't know what it is, but they do know when their street's unsafe. And so how do we, you know, get that information, work with communities, develop advocacy campaigns that they lead? So that's sort of the 2.0, and actually as the executive director at BikeEasy, that's really a big goal of mine, to really do that ground work. That does take a long time, but has to be done if we're going to move a city forward with the vision of the community members. In terms of the second part of your question was about communications and the health department being involved in the messaging. Yes, there has been. We have a regional planning commission. They do a lot of the education funding for pedestrian and bicycle programs, and they have done extensive messaging for both pedestrian safety and bicycle safety, directed at all users, but specifically motorists. And there is a current grant application that it's pretty big. We're working on it, but it's if it's awarded, it would be a public health led by LPHI, funded initiative to do public health messaging around safety for pedestrian and bicycle safety. So.